This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Lashes out, and that's where we start. Plus, retailers have stockpiles. It means when you go to get some stuff for the holidays, if you decide you're going to get some stuff, you could see some steep discounts. And then other things that you want will be victims, all of us already are, of the supply chain woes and inflation that is hammering all of us. Just another week in paradise. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. So let's start with Russia. I wake up to this every day. I have a friend who is in Ukraine and sends me texts of what's happening. Of course, you all get all the breaking news. But there were multiple explosions that rocked central Kyiv, a series of blasts. Over 80 missiles in all were said to have been lobbed into various Russian areas. Many of them stopped, at least 50 or more. The attack caused electrical outages, disrupted water supplies in cities across Ukraine. So for a third night in the past week, there was even a residential apartment building in the southeastern part of Ukraine that was hit again. The missiles in Kyiv caused heavy explosions around 8:15 a.m., so the roads are jammed with traffic. There were 14 people who were killed across the country, 95 injured. They come in waves, and it was the first attack actually in the capital since June. But even when Russian forces were on the outskirts of Kyiv in the early months of the war, no attack hit so directly in the city center. And remember, there are definitely people that are still there. So you have Ukrainian President Zelensky standing tall. He posted a video of himself in the center of Kyiv outside his presidential office to address citizens. And he said, "The morning's tough. We're dealing with terrorists. Always remember, Ukraine existed before this enemy appeared, and Ukraine will exist after it." So Ukraine's foreign minister reaching out to the Western allies, which includes us, the United States, to organize a response to Monday's strikes, saying he's in constant contact with partners since early morning to coordinate a response to Russian attacks. Really sad to see the faces of some of the people that were in the middle of all of this. And part of this is, as Putin is portraying, direct retribution for Saturday's attack on the bridge across the Kerch Strait, which has partially reopened. The Crimean Bridge is a strategic link between Russia and Crimea, and a symbol, of course, of the ambition of Vladimir Putin trying to annex Ukrainian territory. So here we are, just another day in the middle of what so many of us are watching and hoping that we will see less and less of Vladimir Putin, and yet, he keeps on popping up. It's like whack-a-mole. You just cannot get him. And that is a lot of the conversation of when is Putin gonna go? But not now, not yet. It was a weekend where people got to go back in to see if they could find a car, their car that got washed down a road or maybe around the block, and what their possessions actually look like, their homes, etc., meaning especially Fort Myers, because that beach surrounded by water on both sides, the bridge knocked out, people coming in, let in waves, because not having them all at once, since there's still so much clearing that's going on. There was some good news. The hurricane-devastated Sanibel Causeway will open by the end of the month, the Florida Department of Transportation has teams working around the clock to do that. That is super, super good news because this area is being run over by alligators and snakes and everything else, and the efforts to get the people off the island included mostly getting boats and boating them away if they could convince them to leave. So the Sanibel Causeway is taking longer because of the extent of the damage, but having it open by the end of the month, if that timetable holds up, would be pretty darn good. So what happens is they install a blue roof, is what they call it. Operation Blue Roof is a temporary blue tarp that covers to help reduce further damage to property. That's what's happening with a lot of people. It's free for homeowners, and they have a sign-up period that goes on until October 23rd. So people in Lee, Charlotte, Sarasota, Collier, DeSoto counties qualifying, it has to be their primary residences or permanently occupied rental property with less than 50% structural damage. And you see this. This is what happens. They go in, and at least there's some protection from the elements until things can be, in certain areas, can get rebuilt, which makes sense. If 50%, less than 50% is damaged, they can possibly save that house if they're going to rebuild there. So there's a lot of questions. I sat next to a FEMA officer or employee on one of the legs of my journey back from Texas to Florida, and had an interesting conversation about the kind of phone calls that were happening. And she said that, you know, she tried to do everything she could to help people who call in, but they're often just still so dazed and trying to figure out what the next step is and what do they do and how much money can they get, and everything's ruined and they've got waterlogged homes and all of that. She said the stories are very, very sad, and a lot of FEMA people are going down and are deployed already in Southwest Florida to try to make the process go a little bit faster. The offshoot of this is Hurricane Ian's widespread damage is a disaster for Florida's shaky insurance industry. Even though home insurance rates in Florida are nearly triple the national average, insurers have been losing money. Six have failed since January of this year. Now insured losses from Ian are estimated to be $40 billion or more, so you can only imagine what the insurance situation will be like in the state of Florida. Not good. The good news is, if you want stuff, stores have a record $732 billion of merchandise. That means clothing, computers, coffee tables, TVs, that kind of stuff. Dell has a ton of computers. Nike has too much summer clothes. And on the list goes. Target started its winter selling frenzy. They had $6 hoodies and half-off TVs. Amazon has a second Prime Day sale that's happening because they're trying to get rid of stuff. High inventories have been hitting some companies while the supply chain is ruining others, but it's a big role in what's contracted the U.S. economy. Merchandise pileups. Retailers sitting on all that inventory. The timing couldn't be worse. Why? Because of inflation. People aren't spending that kind of money, not spending the money on goods that they spent before because they need to save the money for gas and for food. So where do we end up? It's going to be interesting to see, my friends. We're going to the Man Cave next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
We're in the man cave, and boy, there is so much to get to, so let's do it and not stand on ceremony. Monday Night Football, it was about the Chiefs in the end beating the Raiders. So the Raiders fall to 1-4. The Chiefs 4-1. 30-29. It was a crazy game that looked like at the tail end the Raiders were going to pull it out, but nope, it didn't happen. There were some bungled calls along the way. There were some highlights like Kansas City now staying atop the AFC West after overcoming that 17-point deficit, and Travis Kelce's record 4 touchdowns, which was pretty exciting to see. There are these roughing calls on quarterbacks that are gunking up what's normally, I would say, a clean game, except for frustration over maybe a call or two that could be either way. But one of them happened in that AFC West matchup. A second quarter call left fans in the stands booing so loudly, I don't know how they could even play the game after that, and I'm sure this is going to be discussed a lot. Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones broke a tackle, found his way to the Raiders' Derek Carr, the quarterback, stay with me, sacking the quarterback and taking the ball from him, all in one quick, swift, brilliant movement. He secured the ball as he went down, taking Carr to the ground with him. The strip sack looked pretty clean to everyone watching, but the referees made a controversial roughing the passer call that reversed the fumble and gave the Raiders a first down. So, of course, Chiefs fans were upset at the call, booing until the clock hit zero in the first half. They were having none of it. How about Tom Brady? There was the same thing that happened with Tom Brady, the roughing penalty on the Falcons. So the Falcons' effort to come back against the Buccaneers, they were thwarted because of a controversial third down roughing the passer penalty against Tom Brady. Fans and analysts had no trouble calling the flag unnecessary, but here's what happened. Falcons defensive lineman Grady Jarrett delivered a textbook takedown of the star quarterback. His head didn't make any contact with Jarrett or the field, because that's part of when you call this roughing the passer. But the referee told the media after Sunday's game that the only thing unnecessary about the situation was Jarrett's way of taking him to the ground. A lot of other people disagree. Part of this is because of Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and I think it's in light of him suffering the head and neck injuries on a sack where he was swung down. And maybe that's what the crackdown is on roughing the passer. But pay attention to these calls, because they're changing, in some cases, the potential outcome of games. All right, what else happened in the NFL? The Packers in London taking on the Giants. The Giants beat them 27-22. I know somebody that was there in London to see the game, and they were a Packer fan. They are a Packer fan, and I think we're very surprised by what happened in this game. So Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, who's a machine, spoiled the international debut of Aaron Rodgers and his Packers. They even jumped out to an early lead over the Giants, but it didn't hold. The Giants scored 17 unanswered points in the second half, and that was part of it. Jones was playing on a sprained ankle. He led three scoring drives and erased the deficit. It's the Giants' best start since 5-0 in 2009. So this team is a team to be reckoned with. The Buccaneers, I mentioned them before, beating the Falcons. Final score there, 21-15. The Vikings somehow beat the Bears. The Bears had a chance at the end, but the Vikings got the better of them. 29-22, like I said, they are now 4-1. The Purple Dudes, Chicago, 2-3. Patriots completely humiliated Jared Goff with a couple of interceptions he threw, and the Patriots took advantage, 29-0. Bagels across the board, that is never a good thing. Jacksonville and Texas tangled. The Texans won 13-6, and they pick up that win that they so desperately needed. The Chargers beat the Browns 30-28, so they pick up another win and look to be kind of cruising in the right direction. The Jets also pick up a win, 40-17, over the Dolphins, who don't have Tua any longer, at least for now. They have Zach Wilson, and this was all about the Jets in the fourth quarter. 21 points, unanswered points. The Bills slammed the Steelers 38-3 in front of the home crowd. Josh Allen, once again, Superman, passes for 424 yards and four TDs. How about them Saints beating the Seahawks 39-32? A big win for the Saints. Andy Dalton was in and did exactly what he needed to do. And Mr. Hill stepped up in a very big way with three touchdowns and looked as good as ever. The Titans beat the Commanders 21-17. Wow. Derrick Henry, when he gets moving, that's key. Two touchdowns for the star running back for the Titans. 49ers beat the Panthers 37-15, and the Panthers fired their coach today. So not happy with his record overall and with the way the season has started. The 49ers took advantage of some miscues by Carolina and picked up their third win. The Cowboys beat the Rams handily 22-10. So Cooper Rush is 4-0 this season, or is 4-0. Yeah, it's 4-0 after that win, and when will Dak Prescott come back? That is the question. Maybe this week, because the Cowboys will take on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles beat the Cardinals 20-17, barely. Jalen Hurts, 239 yards passing. There were some miscues and mistakes, so that really kept the Eagles with maybe they're not going to get that victory. Are they really, really going to get it? And sure enough, they're 5-0 now, the only undefeated team left in the NFL. The Cardinals, never led, but they looked like they were pushing back on this, hoping to get it into overtime. And Amendola missed the 43-yarder. The kick looked good for a split second, but it veered to the right and outside the uprights. So he was in because Matt Prater had an injury, so he started for him. And the Cardinals were trying to do what they could, but the Philadelphia Eagles with the go-ahead field goal on the 17-play, 70-yard drive that lasted nearly 8 minutes made a big, big difference, and especially eating up the clock. Other games, Ravens narrowly beat the Bengals 19-17, so they go 3-2. The Colts beat the Broncos 12-9. What's going on with the Broncos? They are really, really struggling to find their timing, their identity, whatever it is, because they're at Mile High Stadium again. Fans cannot be happy to witness this. I think Russell Wilson gets adjusted, and so do some of his receivers, and maybe that all changes. But it has to change pretty fast, because as we get deeper into the season, it's impossible to turn things around, especially if you have too many teams that are so many games. It's just a mathematical deal. When you start to look at it, it can't happen. And it's looking more and more that way for a couple of teams already. I think still too early to call it, but let's put it this way. It doesn't look good in some arenas. Major League Baseball has its playoffs. And guess what? It's interesting because the teams that are gearing up include the Philadelphia Phillies, who will take on Atlanta. We'll see if the Phillies have any prayer of getting by the pretty loaded Atlanta Braves. We'll talk more baseball in our next Man Cave. Hang with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. Ukrainians here in the United States rallied in Chicago Monday evening, denouncing the deadly barrage of missile attacks with many civilian casualties unleashed by Russian President Vladimir Putin on several Ukrainian cities Monday. Rallygoers called for Western countries to send more weapons to help protect Ukraine from Russian aggression. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, after participating in the defense roundtable hosted by the Charleston Chamber of Commerce Monday, told reporters that support for Ukraine is crucial because a Putin loss there will deter China from invading Taiwan, a country that has a near monopoly on a strategic industrial item.
90% of all the semiconductors we use in everyday life, from building jets to running washing machines, are made in Taiwan. The worst thing for American economy is to have Taiwan be taken over by communist China and have a monopoly on semiconductors.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
So much I didn't know about the Alamo, and I wish at the time that I had this book. Lewis Cook is with us, and his book is Joe's Alamo Unsung. So you think about, like I said, what didn't we know and what don't we know about the Alamo, and he has put it together in this brilliant book. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to learn that you got married at the Alamo. That's amazing as well.
I like the history. You know, there was something about the history of it. There was something about what I felt when I was there. And there's so many things, like I said, that we don't know that you researched and you put into this book. So let's talk about that. You know, the one thing that everybody listening to us, I bet, has heard, remember the Alamo. And that slogan is such an important slogan, but the problem is there's people, because that's about courage, there's people that weren't recognized at the Alamo, right?
Oh, and that's the part that blows me over. For example, that statement, remember the Alamo, was probably first said by a woman, Susan Dickinson, and she was saying it and said it first because she wanted everybody to remember that her husband, a very devoted guy named Captain Almon Dickinson, who was in charge of the artillery, had got killed at the Alamo. And her only daughter, their only daughter, Angela, was also a toddler. And she was fit to be tied to have them remember her husband and their sacrifice. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out for me at the Alamo. But another one that comes to mind is a statement that is written in our history book. It says, it is sometimes said that life at the early days of Texas was an adventure for men and dogs, but hell on women and horses. nowhere mentioned there are blacks or minorities. And therefore, that says we're probably a step or so below horses and dogs. And I'm saying it facetiously, of course.
Right.
But historically, it has too much truth to it. So that's how this story, that's how this book got written. It actually started with me having to teach Texas history to eighth graders or seventh graders, I forgot the year, and I had no Texas history. That's not a way to start off in Texas. The kids knew more than I did, and I was incensed that I would not let them continue to embarrass me in front of the classroom, so I had to go and learn some Texas history while I was teaching it to them. And, of course, that was quite a challenge, but that's how this thing got started.
Yeah, and you learned that there was, you know, these, first of all, there's overwhelming odds, we know that, but you learned that there were volunteers that fought. You learned that there were all races and religions that got together and fought, and that's not really talked about.
And it's amazing, because the only survivors, the only English survivors of the Alamo are Susan Dickinson, we just mentioned her, her daughter Angelina, and Joe. Joe was William Travis's slave. And he said, the only male survivor said that every race and every religion was there. Every race. Every religion. So how and why would we ignore so many other persons who contributed to such a vital thing in our nation's history and, of course, Texas history? There was an oversight that when I learned about it, it was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We got to do something about that. But the challenge came from one of my students who actually asked me. His father, I learned later, was a history professor at the University of Houston. And he was sending these kind of questions to his son, and they were keeping me up at night. But that was the kind of thing. Joe and John. Joe is a survivor. John is listed among the dead at the Alamo. So we know minorities were there. But regrettably, John was listed as a black boy. And, of course, that's kind of insulting. But it, again, shows the level of respect that we, as women, as minorities, had at the time. For me, the thing I like about it, the book, Joe's Alamo, is not only to remind you of the original line in the sand, but it recalls how women, blacks, whites, yes, I said whites, Chinese Americans, Native Americans, Muslim Americans, Buddhist Americans, all defended the Alamo, all gave their lives. And that's a story I think far worth reading.
Yeah, and you've written this. This is a novel that includes all races and religions that we're just talking about. And what happens with Joe? Joe, who is wounded but lives on, and he speaks Spanish, and he can translate some of the crazy things that he saw, the words of the Army general, as you describe it, who attacked the Alamo. And what was that general like? He was bloodthirsty, wasn't he?
He was a wild man, an absolute maniac. And he wasn't described as killing people for fun, but he was described as killing people for no reason. And for some reason, that seemed to have excited him. When I started reading and trying to get a grip on this story, I started off with just the books that I was reading, the textbooks, and then I read the books in the library at the school that I was teaching, Sharpstown High in Houston, HISD. Then that led me to the University of Houston and to Texas libraries around the state. And I finally read some of the translations of General Santa Anza, who was the general in charge of Antonio Lopez de Santa Anza, in charge of attacking the Alamo for those 14 days. And he was a very brutal guy. He would cut off your head and stick it on a spear and leave it on a trail leading to wherever he was attacking.
Wow. Wow, just even visualizing that. When people read this book, which you can get on Amazon, Joe's Alamo Unsung, Lewis E. Cook, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Boy, it's two great things I want them to take away from this book, because these people, these defenders of the Alamo who were fighting for independence, were doing just the opposite of what Santa Ana was doing. They were fighting progressively greater and longer odds, whereas Santa Ana was getting more and more reinforcement. And that there are so many contributions from persons all over the country, people from England, Scotland, France, Germany, Denmark, Spain, countries all around Europe. And it's not a stretch at all to imagine that India and China, which are the other minorities that I included, and I had to do so, Kate, but simply because the material, the actual factual historical material, is just too narrow. It didn't even give very much attention to Joe and Susan Dickinson, the survivors.
Wow.
So it only did a speck to the remainder. But I think we did a decent job of allowing people to recognize that if persons came from all of these regions, then it's likely the regions next door could have easily been included. The thing that knocked me off my socks was to learn that the song, we sing it all the time here in Texas, The Yellow Rose of Texas,
yeah,
originally was about a black woman named Emily. Emily, a black lady, is the Yellow Rose of Texas. And the lyrics kind of point that out. So my challenge early on was to say, we start off with a toddler, less than 2 years old, Susan Dickinson, and Joe. How can I show these persons to be the heroes that they were? And I'm really proud of the way I actually ended up showing that toddler, Angelina, the little two-year-old or less, as a hero. And I think it fits well with the description of what she could have done. So I like that.
So you've been to the Alamo, I imagine. What is that visit like for you now?
From my first visit to now, when I get there, the Alamo is like, well, I have to say it's like a tomb, and I regard it as such. And I see the Alamo as a place of sacrifice, sacred, and respect. When I first got there, early on, I saw the Alamo as a brave spot where, you know, should be somebody's singing forged and fighting cannons and all, but now it is a grave site to me. And it's a grave site for original reasons. The persons who died at the Alamo, all of them, Jim Bowie, David Crockett, James Travis, they were burned. Their bodies were burned in that same ground. So for that reason, yeah, that's your final resting place. But I appreciate it as a place where all of Texas, minorities and otherwise, came together and made a sacrifice and made a tremendous statement for history. Only place in the world, remember the Alamo, where less than 300 people fought for 15 days, almost 15 days, against 5,000 defenders.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy to think of it. Great book, Joe's Alamo Unsung. Lewis Cook, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Under one condition, everybody must agree with your form of self-expression. And by the way, don't cater to the taste, or they'll say see you later to your face and chase a new obsession.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Away. We have Harry Josephson with us. Harry, this story is so powerful. Before we get into the details of the story, what was it that made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, Kate, and I appreciate the question. It was a situation where I went through, 10 years or so of misery, learning what not to do with an addicted son. And it just it was something I needed to put in writing for my own benefit. It was a good therapy for me, and I thought maybe along the way I can help some other parents in the same boat, that maybe they won't have to go through everything I did.
And as you said, a decade of hell. How did you first discover that your son had a problem, that something was going on?
Well, we received a letter from a neighbor that said he had sent an email to her son saying that he had been high 24/7 since eighth grade was over. And then we found marijuana growing in his closet, marijuana plants. So those things together really tipped us off.
So that happens, and what's your first instinct? What do you do? Because I'm sure there's so many parents that are listening to us and so many concerned adults around kids they care about. What do you do? What did you do?
Well, the first thing we did was search his room, take everything out of there, get rid of the plants. We found some pills. We got rid of the pills. There's an instinct initially that says, if you eliminate all this stuff, somehow you're going to eliminate the problem, but that's not really true.
Yeah. And were you surprised by this? Because you had a good kid that was involved in doing things.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised. I think everybody believes that, you know, my child's not going to have this issue. And he did. And it got worse instead of better. And eventually I had him shipped off against his will to a disciplinary boarding school out in Iowa.
Yeah. And how hard was it to do that?
Extremely hard, because he stayed there for a year, and I believe to this day that he would not have gotten a high school education, or diploma, I should say, had I not done that. But he looked at me through the window and said, "I'm turning to an effing life of crime. You will never see me again."
Oh.
He was driving away. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, how tough is that? And, you know, you talk about a lot of things in this book that I think are so helpful to so many other people. You talk about the three C's. What are the three C's?
The three C's were something I learned in a Naranon meeting. And it's the three C's are: you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you cannot control it. And if you look at the 12 steps, the very first one of the 12 steps says that, you know, essentially you're powerless over addiction, as you're looking at it from a Naranon member's viewpoint. So that's a big thing that freed me to say, I didn't cause this, and I can't of my own volition cure it. And so I learned that unless he decided he wanted to get some help, there was very little I could do to make him get help.
Wow. And you know, then he gets the help. And what is life like today?
He still has some issues. I believe, as I look back at it these many years later, and he's been off heroin now, and we didn't even discuss the fact that he became addicted to heroin for,
wow,
for quite a few years, that he still has the same issues, anxiety, depression, things like that, that he had before. But he was using these substances to try to mask that or to deal with it. And that's something we learned, too, that is, if you have, and most of these people have mental health issues, there's not much we can do about that either. I mean, we're powerless over that. They have to learn to live with their mental health issues, and he still has some, but at least he's not using hard drugs to mask them.
Yeah, and you know, and in the book you talk about, like you say, heroin was a big thing. So it's one thing to find weed in the closet and be shocked and find pills and all of that, but then heroin, and we see how deadly it is, and immediately when you say the word heroin, that's exactly what you think, and how addictive it is and how tough that is. But some of the other things that you dealt with, and you talk about this in the book, Escorted Away, and we're speaking with Harry Josephson. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. The other thing that you talk about is you talk about jail, and you talk about back to jail, and you talk about back to jail, and, you know, 32 days in a different jail. Wow. That had to be tough, too.
It was very tough, but I got to a point where, with the help of some of the people in Naranon, it's like some of these things that we think are bad, are really bad or really terrible, are things that absolutely have to happen if somebody is going to get better. And our Naranon leader says, I try not to judge things as good or bad, because the thing I think might be the most terrible thing may be the thing that helps them get clean. So you have to kind of let go of the things that you think are good or bad along the way. And he spent time in lots of rehabs, I'd say probably 8 or 9 different rehab trips and a couple stints in jail. And it just, a lot of things had to happen. So if I can give anybody advice along those lines, and we try not to give advice, but some observations that I learned was sometimes some bad things have to happen.
Yeah, and you have to let go of that, right? You have to let go of whatever the label is you think in your head and what's the worst of the worst to be able to get through yourself.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, and on my end, too, I had to go through some really bad things before I got it, you know, so to speak. So that's why I think it could be helpful to other parents to hear my experiences. And then when they have those experiences, they can say, yeah, I've heard about this before. I may have to go through some things before I decide to let go. And you really do have to let go because you can't control the outcome. You can't cure this disease.
Yeah, you have to let go and then work around all that. And you mentioned so many times, and you have a chapter on it, about Naranon and how powerful that was for you. When you're in that group, there are people you can lean on. There's things that you hear, and you just said one of them to us that was something to really pay attention to, not judging good or bad, pulling that out of your mind. Was that the thing that sort of saved you a little bit?
It did. It did largely. I was about ready to rip my hair out before I joined Naranon, and the ability to hear other people that have been through this before and have successfully and you know, the navigation of this type of thing is not an instantaneous cure for the parents either. It's a process, and you have to learn from experience. But when you hear other people who've been through it, you say, wow, that sounds so much like what I'm going through. It's not just me. And group therapy works that way, is you get to hear other people's experiences. And you're not alone. I guess that's the bottom line. You're not alone.
Yeah. And what do you hope, and you said it throughout this, what do you hope people take away? I mean, you've got conclusions in the book. You end with, what have I learned?
I think the biggest thing I learned was I can stand in the way of the things that have to happen for this person to get clean or for this person to get off drugs. And those are things like, you know, giving money, providing a place to go, a lawyer when you get charged with a crime, things like that. There's all kinds of things that I did, and I spent lots of money along the way learning these things before I figured out I was just giving him the resources to potentially kill himself.
Yeah, and you were doing, though, what so many people would do, so many of us would do, because you just love them and you wanted to see this go away.
Right. As a parent, you think, I can help this go away. And our Naranon leader says, I've talked to many of people who have been through this and survived, asked them what it took to get them clean, and he said, I've never once heard him say, because of something my parents did for me.
Wow. Very, very telling. Well, the book is powerful. Pick it up, Escort It Away. Harry Josephson, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Okay, Kate, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.